Welcome to another episode of Faith and Fame. In this episode, I'm joined by Ashley Elise, full-time entrepreneur, motivational speaker, and success coach. Ashley is also the founder and CEO of Be the Standard, a movement designed to help this generation know their true worth in God, live a life of purity, and have standards in a society that barely has any. Together, we're going to dive into the topic of sex and celibacy. It's about to get real. This is Faith and Fame with Brittany Q. Hill. Stay tuned. All right. Welcome to another episode of Faith and Fame. I have Miss Ashley Elise on the line. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Thank you so much for joining. I'm so excited about this conversation.
Me too. I'm pumped. It's going to be so good, girl.
Oh, it's going to be so good. So for those of you listening who are not familiar with Miss Ash Elise, she is a full-time entrepreneur, motivational speaker, and success coach. And one of her many endeavors, because she has so many, she's so talented and gifted. She is the founder and CEO of Be the Standard. And I just have to say, Miss Lady, you are setting the standard high, okay?
Thank you. You are
setting the standard high. And one of the reasons why I say that is because earlier this week, you posted on Instagram a post that immediately caught my attention. You posted about you being celibate for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
15, girl.
I know, that's a long time, ain't it? That's a long time.
But that is so amazing and commendable. And it caught my attention because I, too, am practicing celibacy.
Yeah.
Now listen, it ain't been no 15 years, okay?
Even if it's been a couple hours, you're doing good.
You know, people. Exact for me, it's actually been exactly 1 year to the month. Exactly.
Amazing.
Yes, and it's been so amazing. So I wanted just to hop on, you know, the episode just to talk about celibacy, because I know there's so many people who are either walking in celibacy themselves, are, you know, thinking about doing it, they have apprehensions. And so I wanted just to have a transparent conversation about what exactly celibacy is, what it looks like, why we do it, some of the hurdles that we face, and why it's still cool. It's
yes.
You know? So let's go ahead and start there. I'd love for you to start by just sharing your personal journey into celibacy, how it started, what led to it, and we'll go from there.
Okay, yes, ma'am. This is so good. Thank you. Okay. So yeah, when I was 16, I was dating this guy in high school, which we probably all were dating somebody in high school, right? But, you know, my standards had always been no sex before marriage. And for 8 months, I held out. You know, I just kept saying no, no, no. And then because I didn't have a great relationship with my father at the time, he told me, you know, like, I'm going to break up with you if we don't have sex, because I just can't stand to be around you, which you may have heard that before, girl. But anyway, that whole thing, like, and so because I didn't love myself at the time and know my identity and have that affirmation from my dad, I fell for that. And I was like, okay, like, I'm just going to do it. And so 8 months into the relationship, I started having sex with him. He's the only person I've ever had sex with, actually. And so started having sex for like a couple months, and then, you know, it just ended up really in a bad situation, and I cheated on me and all this stuff. So one day I was at summer school during that summer, and God just spoke to me. Like, I just felt like I was supposed to sit outside and stay in the grass and talk to God. And God was like, hey, you know, I just want you to stop doing this. And God was like, if you stop having sex and all that, like, I am going to just like really change your life, and you're going to help a lot of people. But if you keep going down this road, like, it's not going to end good for you. And it was just, I don't know, a crazy moment. Like, it was like the wind was blowing and God was just speaking, and it was like crazy, like in a movie or something. So that day I was just like, you know what? I'm going to decide to like just stop, you know? And that's just my personality. I'm really black and white. I don't have live in the gray, you know? Mm-hmm. So when I was doing whatever, I didn't feel bad about it. And now that I'm celibate, I'm like, okay, you know, like, I'm going to stick to that. And so that's what really, you know, inspired me to do it, is just like God just saying, hey, you know, I have a lot of lives for you to change, and I want you to stop doing this. And so I did. And that's when I was 17 years old. I'm 32 now. And it's just, that's my story. That's why I did it, girl.
Wow. Kudos to you. That's amazing. So my first question is, how has that affected your relationships now into your adult life?
Yeah, like, you know what? For one, it's kept me from getting STDs.
Okay. Low key do it. Thank God for every blessing. Okay.
And you know what? Sin is really stressful. Like, it's so stressful. Like, if you're listening to this and you really are serving the Lord, it's stressful when you're like living in sin and like, oh God, please let me get my period. I don't know how many times I prayed that. And stuff,
listen,
you know?
And, girl.
You know, we just gonna keep it real on here, right?
So, yes, all the way real.
You know, so it's just really helped me to have peace. I believe mm-hmm. that I live in a lot of peace in my life mm-hmm. because I have that standard of celibacy. You know, like I don't have the stress of like, oh, I'm having sex with somebody. I know that's not what God wants me to do. And God had, please don't let me get pregnant by this person and all this, you know, soul ties. So mm-hmm. it's kept me from establishing unhealthy soul ties in the sense of, you know, physically, because you can still get them emotionally, but you know, physically, sex is a whole other thing added onto it.
Right.
And if God tells you to let go of somebody and you're having sex with them, it's harder.
Yeah.
Sex is good or whatever, you know? So mm-hmm. I don't have that either. It's just like, I'm able to just have more peace. I have a closer relationship with God because I know God is like pleased with me. So mm-hmm. that gives me more confidence to serve him. I'm able to inspire others. You know, like if I never, you know, went on this journey, we wouldn't be on this podcast right now, you know? So,
exactly.
I don't know. Those are just some of the main ways that it's really helped me. And in my relationships, just to have clarity, you know, yeah. like when you're dating somebody and you're having sex with them and you just miss out on red flags, like so yeah. love is blind, you be real blind because right. you know, the physical is clouding everything else. So
yeah,
those are some key ways.
I want to piggyback off of what you said. You said two things. You said one, sex is stressful. And then you mentioned soul ties. So mm-hmm. let me just share a little bit about my celibacy walk. So I yes. grew up in the church, right? And so I've always known that, you know, premarital sex was a no-no, but, you know, obviously we're rebellious, mm-hmm. our spirits, we're flesh. So, I actually started having sex rather young, I felt, because I was hanging okay. with the wrong people. I never really wanted it, to be honest with you. Just having, you know, that goes to show that you have to really pay attention to the company that you keep, you know, these influences. Yes. So I would go through these periods where I knew I wasn't supposed to be doing it. So then I would commit to celibacy, but I would always backtracking. I was celibate for 2 years at one point, then I went back to it, and then I was celibate for another year, and then I went back to it. And uh-huh, the reason uh-huh. why I could never fully commit to it was that although I was refraining from the physical act of sex itself, my heart posture was still wrong. Right.
Wow.
Like, I would say, you know, okay, I'm going to refrain from sex, but I was still lusting after people. I was still having these fantasies and desires, and those fantasies and desires led to inappropriate conversations with people I knew I had no business talking to. And so for me, I think that celibacy is not just refraining from the physical act, but you have to also take into account your heart posture. Right.
Yes.
Because even think about yes. you can be a virgin and still be watching pornography, you know,
yep.
that leads to what
yep.
masturbation. Now all of a sudden you want yep. to actually feel the touch of an actual man or a woman.
Yeah.
And so that was my biggest thing. And so the turning point for me, and, you know, now that I'm celibate again for another year, the turning point for me was that I got sick and tired of being sick and tired of how I felt. Right. Like
yes.
I would have sex with these people and I would still go home empty handed. I had no commitment. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And just keeping it real. Half the time I wasn't even satisfied, since we keeping it real yep. on this episode. You know what I mean? So I'm walking away yep. with nothing.
It's like not even worth it.
It ain't even worth it. So I'm like, you mean to tell me that I done backtracked? Now I got to deal with all this gunk and these soul ties. And then another thing was that in one of my past relationships, I've always been a super confident woman. Always. I've always known who I was. And I ended up dating somebody who lacked the self-esteem and lacked the confidence. And he was always kind of just up and down with his emotions. And I remember we had sex, and almost instantly, within a matter of days, it's like he took on what I was carrying in my spirit and I took on what he was carrying. So all of a sudden
wow.
I was confused and lacked confidence and couldn't shake sadness. And he's walking around confident, happy-go-lucky, because he took what I had
And I Girl. Took what he had. It was an exchange.
Wow.
And it scared the crap out of me because I said, God, where did this come from? Where did these spirits come from? And I knew immediately I gave him that. I gave him wow. access to my body. And as women, we also have to remember that, you know, the physical act of sex itself, you are allowing somebody to enter your vessel.
Yes.
And not only that, they're making deposits into you. Mm-hmm. Hello? Mm-hmm. It's a transaction. Mm-hmm. So where they can just, you know, pull on out and go on about their business, we're now carrying all this crap that they've deposited into us.
Girl.
Listen, it's deep.
It's so deep. And I'm going to interrupt you real quick because I have to tell you. When I was having sex with my boyfriend then, like, he hated my mom, and I started to hate my mom.
Oh,
I never hated my mom.
Oh, my God.
That just reminded me of that. So, keep talking.
That's deep. See, I never thought of that. That's real. Wow.
Uh-huh.
Great point. But, yeah, so just that was the turning point for me was just checking my heart posture, right? Just because we commit to something doesn't mean that we don't have to take into account where our minds are still going. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I feel like sin is sin across the board, even though you don't commit the act. Even when I repent of my sins, I'm always asking God to forgive me of my sinful thoughts as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, so I wanted to talk about that because you had mentioned soul ties. And girl, let me tell you, like you said, sin is stressful. It is not
very
worth it. It is not worth it. And then even when you do end up entering into a soul tie with someone, people don't realize how hard it is to break it.
Yeah.
It is it's so hard to sever that tie. It is so hard.
It is. And I've had so many in my life. So we're speaking mm-hmm. from experience. It's so hard to let it go. And it really takes the help of God and the Holy Spirit and just you having self-control and just taking a stand like you've done, you know?
Right. So you already kind of hit on it already, but I want to make it plain for those who are listening and really trying to find a way to commit to this walk in celibacy. So I'm going to ask you, what are three reasons why an individual should wait until marriage to have sex?
Yes. Okay. So because the number one may sound super deep or whatever, but because God said so.
Amen.
You know, and that's just like, I don't know, I'm just, like I said, very like to the point. And it's like in 1 Thessalonians 4, which everybody, you're like, Thessalonians, we don't be reading that. But in 1 Thessalonians, you know, 4, 3 through 4, it's like one of my favorites. It says in the Passion Translation, it says like God's will is for you to be set apart for him mm-hmm. in holiness and that you keep yourselves unpolluted from sexual defilement. And it says each of you must guard your sexual purity with holiness and dignity, not yielding to lustful passions like those who don't know God. And like the NLT says straight up, like, stay away from sexual sin.
You know?
And I always make the joke, like, in the Bible, the only sin God said to run away from literally is sex. He said to flee. Like flee. And if somebody is fleeing, they are running away from something.
Right.
You know, so that's the only sin God was like, you need to run away from this. Like,
So
that's one of the main reasons. And then another reason is like, our purity is a gift, you know, and I've really had to train my mind to believe that even in times, like you said, when you first stop having sex, then what, you turn to like masturbation and things like that, right? Because mm-hmm. you're like, oh, I can still do this. It's not, you know, physically with someone. And I remember whenever I would want to masturbate or anything, God would be like, Ashley, like, your husband's out there, like, I'm keeping him. And I, like, I don't want you to be tainted when you get with him.
Right.
So, like, even this, you know, and even talking about, like, masturbating, it's like the masturbating you into sin. Like, it's the devil's, he's using sex as bait. Mm. And he's, like, pulling you into somewhere where you shouldn't be.
Right.
You know, and so just knowing that our purity is a gift and that, like, when my husband unwraps me, I don't want me to look like a hot mess, broken down gift. You know,
listen,
like,
hold on. Whoa. Sis, that's a bar. When your husband unwraps you. I love that.
Thank you.
Just to let you know.
Oh, please. Go for it. You can take it. Yes, but you know, just I always have that in my mind. Like, I always think of myself physically like a gift. And you think of like Christmas Day. If you get a gift on Christmas Day and it's like already opened and unwrapped and like it looks like a hot mess, you're gonna be like, why are you handing this to me? Like, this looks right. like horrible. And it's the same thing with our purity and our, in, you know, in who we are as women and men and women. When God presents us to our mate that he's prepared for us, like, we don't want to go in that looking like a mess, you know, and,
exactly.
and with all this stuff. So I always think about that. And lastly, like we already mentioned, like, it keeps you clear. You really don't have like all those extra soul ties, because there may be some red flags, but it's like, oh, you know, having good sex with this person, so I'm going to stay. And mm-hmm. you know you should be leaving, you right. know. So those are some of the main reasons why.
Those were absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
Definitely got some nuggets in there. So my next question is, okay, so it's 2020, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep it real. Relationships nowadays are so hard enough already as it is. So now we're talking about taking sex completely off the table. Mm-hmm. Most people are going to be like, well, then what's the point of the relationship? We're not having sex. Like, it's, most people would think that it would be boring. So my question for you is, what are some other ways that we can be intimate in a relationship outside of sex? What are ways that we can keep, you know, the romance or the spark alive without crossing the line?
Yeah, you know what? I believe that allowing somebody to see the worst and best parts of you is even deeper than sex.
Woo! Talk about it.
You know, like, if, in just speaking to women, if you allow a guy to see you looking ugly, that's deeper than sex.
Right.
You know, you get on FaceTime or be around him, you don't have makeup on and things like that. It's like, this is me. You know, like, that's deeper than that. And so vulnerability, you know, like, if you are vulnerable with that person and don't have walls up and things like that, like, that's a great way to build intimacy. It's just saying like, hey, like, I'm here. Here are the worst parts of me. This is stuff that, you know, I'm working on or I've gone through. And here are the best parts, because some people don't talk about that. It's like, if that person can handle the best parts of who you are and not be intimidated by you, because we're both very confident, like you said. Mm-hmm. And what I've dealt with is a lot of men, they're intimidated by my confidence. You know, and it brings up their insecurities.
Yeah.
And so they either, you know, try and be controlling or, you know, make me feel insecure to be feel better about themselves and all that. You know, I'm sure you've been through that. And so it's like just allowing the person to know the best and worst parts of yourself builds intimacy. Also, of course, like going on dates and just enjoying each other, mm-hmm. becoming best friends with one another, you know, and just
right.
doing life together. Sex is just the plus. Like, it's just the cherry on top for mm-hmm. real when you have all of these other things, and then knowing how to healthily communicate.
Right.
Because, like, some people, they may get in arguments or something, and then they just start having sex, right? We call it makeup sex. Like, y'all ain't made nothing up.
Right. Right.
You know, like, you haven't worked through anything or talked about anything. So if you actually say, hey, let's sit here and healthily communicate and work through this, when you actually start having sex with that person, when you're married, hopefully, it's just gonna feel like amazing,
right?
You know, because you know the person. And just like going back to the garden, like when Adam and Eve had sex, it's like it means they knew one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to get back to that. A lot of people, they having sex with, they don't even know the person.
They
you don't know
don't
their favorite color.
Know
you don't know their childhood issues. You don't know what happened right. to them yesterday. You don't know the person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just feel like it's a whole experience when you actually know the person, and you get married and you have sex. It's just like off the hook.
Right. One of the constant I guess rebuttals I get whenever I share with somebody that I'm practicing celibacy is, well, I mean, wouldn't you want to test drive your car? Like, why would you buy a car without Ooh, test driving it?
I have something for that.
Girl, listen, I cannot stand that, because in my mind, I'm like, well, number one, I'm not a car, okay?
Hello.
Nor are you. And when we think about cars, most of the time, people get brand new cars every, 3 to 7 years, okay? That's a car. But when we're mm-hmm. talking about an individual and marriage, this is somebody that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. So What is the rush? Shouldn't you want to take your time so that it can last and you can stretch out these experiences exactly. and these moments with each other? But I'm not a car. So no, you can't test drive me. This is not something that you're going to return or get something new within 3 to 7 years.
Exactly. So, mm-hmm. And you know, nobody test drives a Rolls Royce.
Hey, see, I didn't know that actually. That's a word.
No, yeah. If you and most people, they just, let's talk about a Tesla. They just design their Tesla online or go tell them what they want and they order it.
Wow.
Nobody test drives expensive cars.
Hey.
And so that's what I always tell everybody. Like, if you believe that, then you just want to keep test driving cheap cars.
Go ahead and get you a Toyota. No disrespect.
Thank you. Driving a Toyota. I mean, I have a Toyota, so it's a good car. But I'm just saying, you know, like, but you get what I'm saying. You know, nobody, it's like, if you're wealthy, you don't need to go test drive a bunch of cars because you know it's proven and it's true to stand up to the name that it has.
It's proven. It's proven and it's true.
Yes.
Wow.
You That's know, amazing. So yeah, so if a man believes that, or even if you're a woman listening to this, and you know, because I've talked to ladies who believe the same thing, it's like, I gotta try it out, make sure they're good before marriage. You know, I don't want to have sex, like, what if, you know, I don't like them like that, or you know, I see something I don't like, and I always say, like, well, you don't trust God then.
You don't. And furthermore, if somebody is saying, well, I have to test it out first to see if the sex is good, you're already setting your relationship up for failure if you're basing the success of it on sex.
Girl.
Right? Like, you're already setting yourself up for disappointment.
That is so true. Because there's going to be some moments, like, you're not going to want to do that, or he's not going to want to. So you have to have a foundation of friendship, you know, and true intimacy. But girl, yes, you don't have to test drive what's expensive, you know? So that's what I always say. And if you trust, like, I trust God that he's going to give me a man that's going to sexually satisfy me.
Amen.
I just believe that.
Yes. Yes. So you just mentioned the word foundation, having something set up on a strong foundation. And I believe, and I'm sure you can attest to it, is that the strongest foundation that we can set anything upon is the word of God.
Yeah.
And so I would like to close out by, you know, just sharing either your favorite scripture or a couple scriptures that you feel would resonate as it pertains to celibacy and holding out. And then, y'all, because this was so good and there's so much more that we want to discuss, we're going to drop a part two with the visuals. So we're going to come back. Mm-hmm. But for now, this is going to have to hold y'all over. So go ahead and share with us some of your favorite scriptures as it pertains to sexual purity.
Yes. Well, you know, Romans 8:5, mm-hmm. I'm going to read it. And it says, those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. And it goes on to say, for the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. And then it says, in fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plans and refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot. For no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. And it says, but when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And so I always meditate on that one, because really, when you're having sex before marriage or masturbating or having oral sex or whatever you're doing, all of them, I won't mention, you really are just saying, like, I'm choosing to basically satisfy and benefit myself over God. You know, like, I'm choosing to satisfy myself and please my flesh, and your flesh actually becomes your God. You know, and so I just always meditate on that and just say, you know what? I always want to be pleasing God. I don't want to put my own desires above who God is in my life. You know, mm-hmm. I don't want to make my flesh an idol. So that's one of the biggest ones. And then, you know, of course, Romans 12, it says, you know, like, don't be conformed to the world, you know, but mm-hmm. be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So mm-hmm. you just got to be bold enough to be different, you know, like.
Right.
You have to be bold enough to not be afraid of human opinion. And I know, like, sex sells in this generation and stuff, but you can still be sexy and be clothed. You know, you can
Amen.
Be sexy and not be out here sleeping with everybody and, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. So that's one of the main scriptures that I always focus on when I feel like I want to go do something with or do somebody. Or
right.
I'm like, let me, you know, I don't want to satisfy my flesh like that.
Right. Yeah. One of the, that's so good. One of the scriptures that has been so heavily on my heart this week, it's almost, I literally cracked open my Bible and went straight to it. I was like, okay, yes! God, I see you. It's not just about celibacy, but it's about the love of God in general, which is what we should base all of our relationships mm-hmm. on, especially when it comes to romance. So the scripture that the Lord took me to was Song of Songs.
Yes.
It started in 2:7, and the reason why it's so powerful to me is because it's actually in the Song of Songs three times, and I feel like anytime you see something more than once, yes. it's like God is like telling you this is important, like it's emphasized. So it's not only in Song of Songs 2:7, it's also in 3:5 and 8:4, and the word says, "I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or the hinds of the field, that you will not arouse or awaken my love before it's time."
Woo!
And girl, I know. And when I read that, I was like, okay, God.
I love that one.
Love that one. But for me, what that talks, I mean, obviously it's written by Solomon and he's talking about, you know, to his bride. But I look at that as before God brings us our husband, he's our husband. Yeah. Right? He's the mm-hmm. one that shows us what love is. He shows us how to be loved, how to love. And so I think that we should remember that God mapped out our lives well before we were even conceived. He has mm-hmm. everything to the very minute when we're supposed to have it. And I feel like sometimes we rush things, and sex yep. is one of those things. And I just feel like you said, if we see ourselves as a gift, we should hold on to that gift so that in the proper time with the proper individual, when God deems it time and necessary, that we can give that gift to somebody and it'll be beautiful. But we need to be mindful of not giving that gift before it's time.
That is so good. You yes. just picked the whole word.
Yes. Like, yeah. yep. And it's, and you know, it's, it shows something that it's written three times. So let's
yeah.
be mindful of that. And lastly, I know I want to keep going because I'm like, God, this is so good.
It but is.
Lastly, I always like to leave the audience with something to carry out through the rest of the week. So whether it be a word of encouragement, anything that you want to share just for all of us to hang on to and meditate on for the week ahead?
Yeah, you know what? Pertaining to this topic, one question that I always get is like, I messed up, you know, and I just feel like I should just keep on, you know, messing up or whatever. And I just want to encourage all of you guys who are listening to this, you may listen to this and go have sex tonight. And that's just real, you know. And one thing that I want to tell you is, you know, like, God's not too far away and he's not too big to for you to like mess up and he doesn't forgive you. Uh-huh. And you can just start right from where you are. So like, if you've been on your journey, especially those of you who have been on your, you know, celibacy or been abstinent for a while and you like messed up with someone and had a moment, like, don't keep having that moment, you know, like get right back on track and just repent and tell God, like, please, you know, show me ways that I can, you know, walk out my purity. Help me to set boundaries with my purity. You know, uh-huh. like when I was struggling with like just really learning to not watch pornography when I was younger and things like that, I would say, God, help me. Like, what can I do? You know, so that I don't keep falling into this. And God will tell you. Uh-huh. He loves to talk about stuff like that. So that's the tip that I want to leave. Like, God is real and he will give you tips and everything and strategies to help you to be pure if you want to. And he will forgive you. And, you know, just stay on track. Like, stay on track, boo, because it's just going to be worth it.
Yes. Amen. I think I'm going to say, we live in this day and age where it's such a hookup culture, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody really appreciates and values long-time relationships and commitment. And then even marriage, a lot of people are asking the question, is marriage even worth it these days?
Yeah.
So I want to just say, this is for both men and women. Keep believing, you know what I mean? Like,
okay.
I'm talking to myself too. I'm believing God for my husband. And I think that sometimes, you know, we say, you know, that we're ready for something. We're ready for our husband and God bring us our husband or our wife, but our actions don't align with what we're praying for. So I want to say believe, but also prepare for what you're believing and praying for. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're believing God for that commitment that you desire for your husband or for your wife, then act accordingly. And that sometimes means taking sex off the table.
Yes.
You know, you have to show God. Faith is, it's an action word, right? That's why the Bible says faith without works is dead. So I just want to challenge you all that are in that same position and you're waiting for your good thing. That try celibacy. Try taking sex off the table. It's it'll prepare you for what you're believing for. And then again, like we keep saying, that you'll have something so precious to give your significant other on that big night. But prepare for what you're praying for. Take sex off the table and find other ways to be intimate, not only with your significant other, but also with God.
Oh, so good. And if they leave, they were not it.
They weren't it, sis, and I just saved you, right? Exactly. This was so good. Well, thank you so much for joining me. This was a beautiful episode. Tell everyone how they can follow you and keep in touch with what you have going on.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, y'all can connect with me on Instagram. It's I'm Ashley Lease, and it's the letter I, the letter M, A-S-H-E-L-I-S-E. And I'm also on Facebook as Ash and then space Elise, and on Twitter as I'm Ash Elise. So those are some ways to connect with me, but I'm heavily just on Instagram and I try and get back to everybody. So that's that. Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, on that note, I bid you adieu. Thank you again. And we'll be chatting soon.
Okay, boo.
Thank you. See ya.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Faith and Fame with Brittany Q. Hill. Be sure to subscribe and make sure to rate us 5 stars on iTunes. See you next week.